If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We would like to go to the Lord in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be at your house tonight, to be with your people. We can come together and worship you. We thank you for the privilege, honor it is to even be here, be part of something bigger than ourselves. Lord, I thank you that we could come into this place with freedom to worship you. And we have your word that can guide us and lead us, and your spirit that directs our heart. I pray, Lord, that you touch the hearts of those that may be lost and help them see their need to trust you. And us that are saved, help us to see our need to be serious about you. With all of our heart, that we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless those that are sick, those that are suffering, those that need your comfort. Lord, you're able to comfort and give us peace that passeth all understanding. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our country and our leaders. Have mercy upon us as a nation. Help us that we could turn to you, I pray. That you would bless the preachers that sent out from this church, the work that you give them to do. Pray that all your men that stand to preach your word, all your true men of God, I pray that you would bless today and all your churches that meet the world over, that we could hear of good things being accomplished for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Verse 44, Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I saith unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want you to consider what gets you excited. Well, that will be different for all of us. What gets you excited? What makes you tick? What do you enjoy doing more than anything else? You know, whatever it may be, what is it that makes your heart pant? Or what is it that gets your adrenaline going? Or what is it that causes you to cheer? You know, that's different for everybody. And you know, for some, it's to go climb up in a deer stand and wait for that big old buck. And what happens when that big buck comes out? For those that love to deer hunt and that's their passion, all of a sudden you kind of, heart starts fluttering a little bit, hair stand up on the back of your neck. And you go to aim and you realize, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to calm myself down. I'm not even going to be able to shoot this thing. And so you have to set the rifle back down or the bow and got to calm yourself down, breathe a little bit, try it again. And if you're able to take that big buck, then what do we do with that? We want everybody to know. Even if people don't want to hear it, we still feel obligated to tell them because it is so important to us. You know, maybe it's other things, but you know, we all have those kind of things that we cheer for. We adrenaline rush. Some people are adrenaline junkies, and they want to get on roller coasters and things like that. And, you know, I took the kids on vacation, and we went to Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, and they all wanted to get on the roller coasters. But, you know, they didn't just want to get on it by themselves. Daddy, will you get on it with me? Why do we do that? If it's so fun, why do we want others to get on it with us? We want others to experience what we experience. We want others to feel about it the way we feel about it. We want them to get in on the experience. And so, you know, you can hear, I believe you can hear the excitement without trying to read something in Scripture. It's not there. I believe you can read the excitement in Philip's voice as he tries to convince Nathanael to come meet the Christ. We have found him that Moses and the prophets told us about. Come see, is not he the Christ? And Nathanael, he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he said, come and see. And you know what happened? Brother Jake, Nathanael went to see. Why did he go to see? I believe something about Philip and how he was convinced made Nathanael say, I at least got to go check this out. I mean, he's witnessed something. He's experienced something. He's different and he's changed and he's excited about it. So I'm going to at least go check it out. There's some things I want you to see about that interaction. First of all, the Bible says, Philip findeth Nathanael. It was important enough, I need to go find Nathanael, wherever he's at. He went to look for him. You know, he didn't say, well, if I ever get an opportunity, I'm going to tell old Nathanael about this. He didn't say, well, if the time's right, you know, I will mention Jesus to him. Bible said he went to find him. He didn't send message by carrier pigeon he didn't mail him a card or however they sent mail at that time. He didn't hire somebody to run him down and send a message to him. He didn't call him on the phone. He didn't text him. He didn't send it in some kind of social media. He went to find him. You know, and Philip spoke to him in a way that I believe it portrayed confidence. I know this is him. I know it. But if you don't believe me, you just come and see. And if you just simply come and see, you will know as well. And so Philip's faith was evident in his zeal. There's something about that. There's something about face-to-face, Brother Mike. There's something about face-to-face. It means more when you look somebody in the eye and tell them something, it will send them a message or send them a card. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to preach we need to all get charismatic and things like that and start jumping benches or anything. But the zeal and confidence that Philip had couldn't be stressed with an emoji either. It couldn't. This was something that needed to be witnessed firsthand. I need to go to him. And Philip found Nathanael and he won him to the Lord. I'm not sure that in our day and time, with all the things we faced and as time marches on and people start pushing God's word away and people are not as interested in church as they once were, I'm not sure that we have a zeal about the Lord that we should. And that's not for everybody, but for the Lord's people, really, that's a blanket statement there. I'm not sure that we have the zeal that we ought to have in winning people to the Lord. And I put my name at the top of the list. I don't believe that I have the zeal that I ought to have. Now, he didn't put it off, did he? There's some things that we feel like, well, this is something I need to do, but it's not really important enough to do it right now. So I will put it off, and when I get around to it, I'll finally take care of it. My grandpa handed me around to it one time. He said, I want you to have this. That way you will always have around to it. You don't know what around to it is. Ask me after church, we'll talk about it. But he handed it to me. It looked like a little coin. Around to it. There's a lot of times God puts burden on our heart maybe to speak to someone or invite someone to church or to go and try to encourage someone. And we say, well, when I get around to it, I'm going to do that. Philip didn't put it off. He went immediately and he found him. And he went into the Lord. You know, we still do that with things that we have zeal over, don't we? I mentioned deer hunting. What about you young people? You get your first vehicle. What about you that got your first vehicle? You remember how you reacted about that? How that felt is important to you, wasn't it? What do we do if we get something, and I mean it's something we're excited about, it's nice. Somebody said, look at that new vehicle old Brother Brad got. You know what I do? Here's the keys. You want to drive it? Why do we do that? Well, we want them to experience it. I want you to feel the power this thing has. I want you to get in it and ride it down the road and feel how that thing hugs the road. We're excited about it. Everybody here knows I'm an Alabama fan. I know y'all Mississippi State fans. For the most part, I know that. We get excited about it, don't we? And what do we do when it starts getting down to the nitty gritty? I would say, y'all want to come watch Alabama win another championship? I do that a lot just to provoke y'all a little bit, I guess. But we get excited about that stuff. And look, come on, we need to experience it. What I'm getting at, we want to experience it together. Together. Because it's important. This time of year, everybody's planted their garden and we start seeing things come on, and but we can't wait to taste some first vegetables. I guess the squash and the cucumbers will come on pretty soon, and we'll tell them, I'm eating out of that garden. That first tomato comes along. We got to brag about that a little bit, don't we? Got my first tomato. Brag about it. It's important to us, and we want everybody to share in what. Look, whenever we talk about them tomatoes, I got a man, especially down at Mars Hill, he starts growing in a greenhouse, and he opens that thing up, and he has tomatoes for anybody else. And when Brother Jake, when he describes that tomato, I can almost taste it. Somebody says you can't describe what something tastes like. He can. He's pretty close. I can just about taste what he's talking about. He makes it sound good. And I'm convinced he's got a good tomato. And then when he brings me one, I enjoy it with him. But you know, I could go on and on with things like that. We go on vacation. What do? We come back. Somebody says, oh, did you enjoy that vacation? Well, let me show you some pictures. I've got a bunch of pictures. You need to see this. We enjoyed it. And we show them pictures, and we want people to see in that what we got out of it. You can't never really get out of a picture what you can in real life, can you? But we want people to. That's why we show it to them. All right, so Jesus saved my soul, and he changed my life. And I tell you what we will do with that if we're not real careful. We'll say, but nobody, people probably don't want to hear about that anyway. I tell you, if it's that important, we ought to tell them whether they want to hear about it or not.
Amen.
I tell you, I've had people talk to me about things, and I think, you going to wrap this up anytime soon? Yeah, people talk to you about something you don't have a lot of understanding of, or it don't interest you, and you think, well, yeah, okay, I hear you. But they tell you, and they want you to like it because they do. They want you to experience it because they have. We all want to tell people about the Lord, whether they want to hear it or not. Because it's just that important. There's things that we are passionate about, and we want others to join in and be passionate about us, with us. And what about Jesus? Let me just ask you about Jesus. How zealous are you of Him? He saved your soul. When was the last time you told somebody about that? Brother Brad, it's just awkward. Why? Why is that awkward? And we can talk about anything else. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about going hunting. We can talk about the golf course. We can talk about football. We can talk about anything. People talk about a lot of things they don't have any business talking about. We can talk about anything in the world except Christ. Have we forgot that He's important? He's the most important thing in the world. All right, I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul. And I know I use this statement often. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is zeal. That's not a man, you know, emotionally acting crazy. That is a man that believes with all his heart, as long as I live, people need to hear about Jesus. They need to see Jesus in my life. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That means if the Lord takes me home, I'm just all the more better. But as long as I'm here, I need to be telling others about the Lord. You know, I hear Joshua made the statement to all of God's people that were not maybe doing what they should be doing. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is zeal. That is willing to take a stand if nobody else will take it with you. People see my family, they're going to see Jesus. You come to my house, you're just going to have to experience a little bit of Jesus with me. If we're standing around talking, chances are you're probably going to hear about Him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somewhere along the way, we've convinced ourselves that Jesus is good, but we kind of need to keep that on the down low. We don't want people to think we're strange. We don't want people to think we're over much. Let's just kind of keep that on the back burner. And if it comes up, then maybe we'll say something. How often we say, well, I'm waiting for the right opportunity. You see, we can use it, and I believe with all my heart. Don't misunderstand me. Brother, I believe we're to be led of the Lord to speak to people about Christ. But I believe we have learned to use that as a loophole many times, that, well, I just ain't going to say anything unless I basically fall into the situation where I don't have no choice but to tell somebody about the Lord. You see, there's always going to be the fact that the world hated Christ. They're going to hate us. So, Brother Richard, it's not going to always be easy to tell somebody about the Lord. But we need to do it anyway. Jesus spoke to people that hated Him. He told them the truth anyway. They didn't like it. He told them anyway. So that's kind of where we are today. Look over at Psalms 42. In the book of Psalms 42, very familiar passage of Scripture here. Just going to read a couple of verses. Verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, a hart is a deer. You know that. Well, it's a certain type of deer, but it's a deer nonetheless. And we can all kind of identify with white-tailed deer around here. And you think about a deer that's been run down by dogs, and he's just been running. He finally outsmarts the dogs, and he comes back, and he comes into the water brook there. And maybe you've got your tree stand looking, and you've been watching that area, and you heard the dogs go through, and then you saw that little deer, he come back through, and he has outsmarted them dogs, and he walks over that water. If you've ever seen that, it's something to see. That deer be, he's calming himself down, and he starts drinking in that water. And you understand a little bit about this verse when you see that. My soul thirsteth for God like that. Imagine if knowing God caused us to be that kind of zealous. That we got up in the morning, it wasn't we had to make ourselves go into the office and read a little bit. We woke up and we could not wait to go open our Bibles and hear from God. To go out into the world, and it's not that we having to twist our arm or come up with some kind of certain program to go out into the community and knock on doors or to witness, but we go and we cannot help but tell somebody about Christ. It's just in us. If you're around me very long, you're going to hear about it. What if we had that kind of zeal? You know, you think about all the different concerts. I remember there was different ones whenever I was a teenager, and I got concert tickets to different country concert, and I got one rock and roll concert, and I got tickets for that, and I thought I was on top of the world. Can you imagine if, let's just say Florida Georgia Line, or George Strait, or Beyonce, or whoever, just say they come to Hattiesburg. Is there a place in Hattiesburg big enough to hold that type of crowd? You reckon? I guess USCM probably could hold it, maybe. The stadium there. Maybe could hold it. Well, what do you think that would do to Hattiesburg? They'd probably have to shut Highway 49 down, wouldn't they? I mean, you wouldn't want to go that way. If you had to go to Jackson, you'd take a detour if you knew that was going on. If it was on Sunday, there'd probably churches, at least in this part of the country, probably be churches, a lot of empty pews, if that was going on Sunday evening. We get excited about that kind of stuff. Philip followed the Lord, but he went and found Nathanael. He said, I have found him. This is the one we have read about all our life. This is Christ. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? All I can tell you, you need to come see. Come see for yourself. If he'd have drug in, felt like, well, when the time's right, maybe I'll bump into old Nathanael, maybe something work out, I'll bring it up. And if he brought it up to Nathanael as, you know, just something he felt obligated to have to tell him about Christ, Nathanael might not have went and seen him. I believe he saw something in Philip is different. And he believes what he's saying. So I'm going to go check it out for myself. When was the last time you found someone and tried to share your experience? I'm using that word experience because we know about experiences. But when was the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? She wanted somebody else to hear about how you got saved. When was the last time you told somebody? Have you ever told anybody about it? You know, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Or is it something you kind of have to drag yourself along to do? Tonight, Jesus is someone special. There is no other name like the name Jesus. All these others that we get so excited about, they do not hold a candle to Christ. In no way are they as important as Christ is. There's no one that can do for us what Jesus can. No one can help us like He can. There's no one that can save our lost family or lost friends or being lost ourselves. No one can save us like Christ can. You know, think about President we have now. And, oh, he's kind of a rock star president, ain't he? He has the crowd, whether like him or hate him, however you view him, he is all the news can talk about. You can't get enough of him. But I tell you what, he may do a lot of things, but he cannot save a soul. He's not as important as Jesus is. And I know Jesus personally. These entertainers, they cannot do for us what Christ can. Who else would give his life for you? Absalom, David's son, fleeing away from Joab, David's men. The Bible said he got hung up in a tree, in the boughs of a great oak. He got hung up in that tree, and his mule, it rode out from under him. Just hanging there, and of course, just to make a long story short, he was killed. The enemy came, they filled his heart full of darts, and they took him, they put him in a pit, and they put stones on him. And there was two men there, Ahimaaz and Cushai. And Cushai saw everything that happened. So he had the news, and their job was to run and tell the king what happened on the battlefield. And Ahimaaz wanted to run, but he hadn't seen anything. Cushai, Joab said, go and tell David what happened. He bowed himself, he took off running. And Ahimaaz said, I want to run too. And he was told, well, you don't have anything to run for. You didn't see what happened. He said, nevertheless, let me run anyway. And finally, just to get him out of his hair, he said, take off, go. And Ahimaaz was kicking up dust because he outrun Cushai. Even though Cushai had a head start, he outrun him by a good distance, if you stop and look at the whole story. And he runs in and he says, tidings, my lord, the king, we've won the battle. He said, but what about Absalom? And his answer was, well, I seen some kind of tumult, but I knew not what it was. David said, just step aside. The man that's up in the tower, he said, I see another man running. He runs kind of like old Cushai does. I don't know, maybe he had a little bit of a hitch as he ran. He ran different. He stood before David. He said, tidings, my lord, the king, we won the battle. He said, but is Absalom safe? And he gave him the news about Absalom. Now, what's that have to do with us? We have a reason to run with zeal. Ahimaaz had zeal in running. There's a difference there. Cushai, he had a reason to run. Ahimaaz just, look, his zeal was in the fact he could run. I want you to know tonight, we that have trusted Jesus, we have a reason to run, and we have a reason to run with zeal. We have a reason to want to go tell everybody about Christ. We have a message to tell. We have news of God's Son. But if you look around, what we see is there's a lot of people doing a lot of running. They don't have anything to tell. There's a lot of religions meeting up today, and they get all some kind of excited. They don't have anything really to be excited over. We have Christ. We have the truth. And for some reason, many times, we feel like we need to just keep that to ourselves. You know, you think about stories. How many of us like good gossip? We're honest. We like to be the first one to tell somebody something, don't we? If it's a good story, I want to be the first person to tell it. If you ever went to tell somebody something, and I mean, you just licking your chops. Oh, this is good. I got to tell somebody. And you get there to tell them, and they say, I haven't heard that. What's that for you, that list? Oh, I thought I was going to be the first one to tell you. And you've done heard. We get excited about things. We won't tell anything. What about Christ? When's the last time you told somebody about Him? Are you ready to tell the world? We should have a zeal, shouldn't we? Tonight, I want you to understand something. This is not a pep rally. I'm not trying to get us emotionally worked up. But at the same time, you know what zeal is? Zeal is confidence. And it's an excitement about whatever it is you have zeal over. We should be excited, ready, willing. Shouldn't nobody have to twist our arm to tell somebody about the Lord? And not just tell them, but show them. Nobody should have to twist our arm. But we almost feel like we need to keep him back, don't we? Nobody's really going to want to hear that anyway. I want you to understand something tonight. I'm going to close. It don't matter whether people want to hear it or not. Tell them. We've been commanded to go to the world. To go to the world to preach the gospel. We're not commanded to make somebody accept it. We're not commanded for results. But we are commanded to take Jesus to the world. How are you doing on that tonight? We'll ask for a song.